RadioInfluence.com.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is the Fabulous Sports Bay on Radio Influence.
Hey, it's me. It's the Babe Cast. You know that's happening all the time. I got it working anyway. I have to tell you the stuff I've been watching. All right, so I'm trying. There's no Ninja Warriors and none of. I'm into Ink Masters, and I am so in love with this thing. Does anybody else watch it? I watch it, and then I watch The Redemption two hours later, or the next hour, and then I watch Tattoo Nightmare. Hence, I go to bed at like 2:30 today, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing up? But I love this thing. I don't know why. And they said, I want to be like one of the canvases. But what happens if they give me something I don't like, and then I'll punch somebody? But has anyone else watched this? And my favorite one was the guy that said, I don't know why I got sent home. Well, because you sucked. I mean, it wasn't really, everybody else said you sucked. Everybody else in the place said you sucked. Why? Of course you were sent home. You weren't making any sense, so goodbye. I like the Ink Masters, though. It's really kind of a game, and some people get like a little nuts and think it's real, and it's not real. It's a real game. Speaking of which, stuff I never watch. Do you know that thing that, what's it called? The Bush people from Alaska? Well, I'm reading this thing in Canada, and every one of those people are from an actor from Canada. The long hair and the kid that stands in the sidelines and becomes a wolf. I don't know what happens there. I just changed the station because I don't want to, but I didn't know if anybody else saw that before I did. And I loved it when they looked at the guy and when I was looking at the Ink Master guy and he said, I'm going home. And they said, yeah, because you're terrible and we don't think you're very good. And he goes, well, I don't really see the interest in that. And I thought, everybody here has said you're awful. Go home. What's the matter with you? And I love the other part, by the way. The other thing is where you have the redemption. So you come in and you say, you know, I need to have this tattoo that this guy made. It's absolutely horrible. And they send you into the room and it's the guy that did it to you. And one guy was going to pop him in the mouth. The other one, guy walked out in the middle of it. They're like a bunch of big queens. I've never seen anything like it. Big divas walking out in the middle of this. I was like, what is that? You could change that if you wanted to, whatever you wanted to. I thought the Queen's thing was better than that. But anyway, I you know, and then I love the nightmare where she comes in and says, here, look at this. I got this and I don't even, and it's like some horrible thing that she got when she was like 15 years old. And then we need a cover for that. It's kind of weird. You'd think I'd have more things to do, but I don't. It's what I do. I seem to watch that a lot. All right, let me just tell you, I'm going to talk to my friend Russell Baxter. He's everywhere, profootballguru.com, the NFL Spin Zone. He's the writer and the editor for that. He's a feature columnist for the Bleacher Report. He knows more about the draft and everything about NFL and the whole wide world. But you get to see him all the time. And Russell was with me at ESPN, and they didn't want me to put him on the radio because they thought he was a researcher. There was no one that knew more about football than this man. But they wouldn't let him put him on the radio because we had idiots running it at the time. But that's why I love talking to him. Everything that you want to know about football is coming up. We're doing it. It's the Babe Cast. I'm loving it right now. Russell, let me ask you something. Do you think this is it for the Bradys? And I mean, for what happened with Brady and all that? Or do you think it's going to get even more involved? I mean, they talk about the Supreme Court and all that stuff. You know, I think that they got screwed there. They got screwed because I'm a New England Patriot fan. So, of course, I'll think that. But what do you think? Are they going to continue on with this?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to back down.
Right.
Nobody wants to back down from this. I mean, I thought it would be all said and done. And I understand both points because there was almost this. It seemed Tom's being more punished for defiance,
right?
I think, than he is the suspicion of cheating. Okay,
yeah.
And I think that's what that's the point the commissioner's making. I tried to conduct an investigation here, and you got in the way. Okay, now whether you know why did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So, where people get here's what I think eventually is going to happen is. It's a four-game suspension, and it's going to wind up a one-game suspension. And you're going to miss the season opener.
Well, I can deal with that. I didn't want to see it.
I think that's what's going to happen. That way there is still the air of punishment, and it's not on your list. We saw, we have seen suspensions overturned or reduced. This, to me, has all the earmarkings of one getting reduced. And that way, everybody's happy and we can end this thing. You know? I've never seen so much hot air about hot air.
And then, you know, it just, it became more like, I'm in charge, I'm in charge. I mean, it went back and forth. And after a while, you're kind of like, oh, get over it, because there's a lot of things going on, especially concussions and things like that, that I don't think this Deflategate means anything. You wrote a good thing about who did well, at what was the teams that were improved in the draft. We had the draft. Everybody was crazy. And I always, you know, whenever you talk to someone, they all think that they did the best in the whole wide world, but it doesn't really matter, because the only thing that really matters is when we get out there and play football. What do you think about the draft? Were there teams that you thought did very well?
I think the thing that stood out for me the most about the draft, Babe, was teams like the Bears, the Colts, the Steelers, and I put the Bears as the second most improved team because of also what they did in free agency. But there was a theme. First off, as you could tell early on, it was a defensive-oriented draft. Mm-hmm. I go back to the second round. There were 32 players taken in the second round. One kicker, 9 offensive guys, and 22 defensive guys. And what I noticed with teams like I said, the Bears, they were drafting defensive guys and offensive linemen. And offensive linemen eventually turned out to be your defense's best friends, as they control the tempo of games and keep the defense off the field. So it was, in some ways, it was kind of a feel of an old-school draft to it. And it was teams that needed that. Pittsburgh's had problems in the secondary. They drafted 2 DBs with their first 2 picks. The Colts have had problems on defense even when Peyton Manning was there. And they went out and got, they had offensive line problems since Andrew Luck was there. And they, you know, started with the center and did some good things there. And then the Bears, whose whole off season for the most part was upgrading their front 7, continued to upgrade their front 7 in the draft. They also added some help in the secondary. They also got who could be a starting left guard for them. And that was the Bears. That was the Bears' last 2 months, Babe. Defensive guys and offensive linemen. Man, they signed 3 free agent offensive linemen: Manny Ramirez, and Ted Larson, and Bobby Massey. And you know, again, toughness, controlling tempo, defense. Listen, it's a quarterback-driven league. But there's one way to stop these quarterbacks, and that's keep them on the sidelines.
Right, have the defense. And the offensive linemen, I love, as you were saying, the Bears just upped and upped so that maybe that they wouldn't get killed in the quarterback position every 5 minutes, and maybe that's the point of having the big offensive linemen. I'm all for that. I love the defensive and offensive line always.
Oh, no. Those are the guys. I mean, it's funny. I heard somebody talk about Joe Thomas the other day and talking about how old he was. I think he's like 32 now, but you know, he's been in the league 9 years, and he's been to 9 Pro Bowls. He can't get any better than that. And I know the Pro Bowl's not what it used to be, Babe, okay, as far as because everybody goes, but Joe Thomas is one of those guys who goes because we know he deserves it. I mean, he is a rock-solid guy. It would be interesting to see how, you know, the Browns, to me, who went out for a lot of wide receivers in the draft. They drafted 4 wide receivers and in some ways a 5th one, a kind of a hybrid tight end wide receiver. But they've also got some issues on the offense. They lost 2 quality offensive linemen this year, and Alex Mack and Mitchell Schwartz. So, we don't like to talk about the offensive linemen because, the ironic part about it, it was the position you used to hear Coach John Madden talk about all the time, the big uglies, right? yet, it doesn't make much of a difference if you're playing Madden.
You know, when I was looking at the draft, and it was funny because do you remember when it was Sunday and it used to start at 5 o'clock in the morning, and now it's like this big, like 3-4 day thing, and it, you know, and every day you have to air, and everybody takes the 15 minutes. It's like, oh, get to it, would you please? But they've made it into what we, you know, as an NFL fan, and I am completely an NFL fan, every month is worth something. And that's what they're trying to do. And it absolutely works fine. And they've even made that at the end of April, and then we move and everybody talks about it in May, and then all of a sudden you start talking again. I mean, that's what they want us to make it every day, and we've done that. They've done it, and we've followed along with it, and that's okay.
They have adjusted to the times with the draft. My first draft was 1988. Was still at the Marriott Marquis in New York. It was not, you know, fans came, maybe 300 or 400. They were allowed to sit up top.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was on a Tuesday. Okay, it wasn't a weekend event. It was like Tuesday, Wednesday used to be the draft. It was 12 rounds.
Nice.
So it has morphed into a lot of different things. I remember we moved. My ESPN days moved to the Paramount Theater in 1995. It was still 12 rounds. I mean, for a long time, I mean, ESPN really put the NFL draft on the map. Of course, both them and the NFL Network done it now. But, you know, it has evolved. Very much like the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions have evolved over the years. You kind of got to adjust with the times. And it was funny. When they decided to go to the three-day event, Dave, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I remember talking to people saying, well, everybody's going to watch on Thursday. And everybody's going to watch on Saturday because it would work. It's kind of ingrained.
Right.
Even if you're not watching, you're listening, you have it on your TV. Who's going to watch the second and third round on Friday? And then I got my answer.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Right.
Because the appetite for the draft, it's the one thing that fans, listen, the correlation between the draft and fantasy football is this. When you're a fantasy football fan, you get to draft your team. I know people who enjoy the draft actually more than the weekly play itself. The idea of being behind the scenes at anything, I think, thrills people. And I think the NFL draft, which we now kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at what teams are doing, is always a fascination. Everybody wants to see how the movie's made.
Right.
Okay? And that's why I think it's always been the fascination with the NFL draft.
You know what I really liked back in the day when I used to do it, and we would get people who were, you know, Vikings people, and they would be the people. I love to talk to the actual people, you know, but now you're at a point with Mayock and all those people that they have so much more information than you do that it's better to go through that. But I used to love it when we'd get people to, you know, do my fans draft and everybody be waiting in line and they couldn't wait to, and it was really good. But now you're at a point where they know so much more than you do. So it's okay. You can see what's going on in the middle.
Well, I think, and it's great that you bring that up, because I think one of the things with the draft now, when you know, people say to you, who's your sleeper pick? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how is there possibly a sleeper pick anymore?
Right.
Okay? Because we're talking this thing 24/7 on all kinds of networks, on all kinds of, I don't know how a player can stay hidden anymore. You can't.
You know, let's go to the Larry Tunsil thing for a minute. Some people said, was there a crime committed against him? You know, I don't care if he did it last week or he did it 2 years ago. I mean, is that what they're all worried about? That he really went down to 13 and the Ravens had him and they said, no, we're taking Ronnie Stanley? I mean, what was the point of all that? Okay, so he got high. So what? Move on. But maybe it just seems stupid when all these people said, oh, we can't do him. We can't do it. And it seemed, you know, it was like no one ever smoked pot before. I was so surprised at the whole attitude.
Well, here's what I think happened. The suddenness of what everybody got to see, I think made some teams feel like they missed something. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they then went back and tried to do a little homework. Now, and not everybody needed a tackle, as it turned out. Okay? I look at it a couple different ways. And the first thing I want to point out is the fact that the young man put himself in a bad position by allowing
right.
that video to even be created. Forget the fact that someone might have sabotaged his account or whatever. It was a bad look, okay? It's like being a draft prospect and in some way showing up in shorts and a t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
okay? Okay, that's not the way you want your job interview to go. As it turned out, the Dolphins, I kind of settled things down, took him at 13. It could turn out to be a major coup for him. I think it was a lesson learned for that young man. It's like the correlation I was drawing would be like it's like you were out with your best friend when you were 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
okay? And one of you grabbed a candy bar and shoved it in your pocket, okay? You didn't pay for it, but your friend put it on his cell phone just to be, you know, snarky.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7 years later, when you're in the middle of a job interview, something resurfaces. That's kind of dirty pool, but the bottom line is you stole the candy bar.
Right. Well, I just, you know, I don't know. Somebody said, was there a crime committed? And I said, I don't know if there was a crime committed, but we certainly learned a few things. Let me just ask you something, Russell. When they had the picture of him with the gas mask and all that kind of stuff, And I looked up and it was like, did no one else see the Confederate flag to the left of him? Because I was am I the only person that saw that? And then I saw later on that someone had said it, but it was never like a big deal. And I'm like, I don't care if that's Mississippi or whatever it is. What are you doing in front of that Confederate flag? I mean,
it was safe to say, my dear, it was a bad look. Okay. You're sitting there and you're watching TV and all of a sudden this thing resurfaced. And I'm sure the shock value. I mean, listen, we had a similar situation in a totally different vein. Okay. A totally different vein. All right. Last year with Lady O'Collins. Remember that? Here's a young man who figured was going to go in the first round of the draft, talented offensive lineman, all of a sudden is sent home from Chicago, okay, because of a murder investigation, correct? Okay, winds up not getting drafted at all. As it turned out, everything was fine. The Cowboys signed him as an unrestricted free agent. So it's 2 years in a row, we kind of you get thrown a curveball here in the first round. And I'm not saying curveball to make light of you. These are serious, serious things. So you feel like you've done your due diligence checking these guys out, and then this thing happened to Collins, and now this thing to Rapunzel. It's like, you know, what's next year's surprise?
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, Russell, that I saw was that Connor Cook, I thought this was kind of interesting. They said that D'Antonio didn't really let people to see them, and they only gave him 1 minute of everything, and they felt like D'Antonio was the one that screwed up Connor Cook in this.
Yeah, you know what's funny? You know what's the thing that came to mind with me? Well, first off, I give the Raiders credit, because listen, if you have him rated on your board, and I don't care if you had, I mean, it goes back to when Robert Griffin and Kirk Cousins were taken in the same draft. Mm-hmm. A good GM will stick to his board, regardless of who's there, and you upgrade the position, and it's worked out fine with the Redskins. You know what's interesting, babe? I was wondering, because people were thinking, you know, what's going on with RG3 in Cleveland? And could you imagine if RG3 watched his new team take a Michigan State quarterback in the fourth round? You want to talk about Deja, like, what do I got to do?
Yeah.
You know? So, but listen, Reggie McKenzie has done a tremendous job there. Some people were hot and cold with what they did in the draft. The Carl Joseph pick gives them a real physical presence in the secondary. They already added some good players there. It might be finally time for the Raiders to snap out of their postseason funk.
That would be nice for a change, I think, if they did that. You know what? I'm the only person. Every day I go, RG3 is going to be better. I know he's going to be better than that. And people go, what are you? No one agrees with me. And it's okay. I could be completely wrong. But I just feel like a different place. Now, I wish it wasn't Cleveland, but that's where he is now. Will he do any better there than what they've had before?
Well, I just want to let you know, full disclosure, that I have changed his name to RG25 because he will be the 25th different starting quarterback for the team.
Poor guy.
Since 1999. But listen, they signed him to a 2-year deal. He's with a coach that's very quarterback friendly. You know, there's nowhere to go but up for him. He didn't play football last year. So this is a chance for him to revive. And listen, how many reclamation programs and projects that we've seen in this league? Mm-hmm. We see guys who we think are going to be stars and then fade, and then we see guys who get off the awful starts and then all of a sudden make a, you know, I mean, it's like the guys who don't get drafted. It's like, you know, they become afterthoughts and then all of a sudden they're in the Pro Bowl.
You know, when I think about that, I mean, I was thinking about Hoyer. He was the big deal and then it was like, bye, see ya. Mm-hmm. And they ended up, and I have to tell you, I mean, I thought that Brock Osweiler did well. And certainly in that organization as far as Denver, but is he going to do the same thing, or are they just going after a guy that's kind of like when they used to go after the backup quarterback to the Patriots, which is you can have him, that's fine, and then they didn't do anything afterwards?
No, I think he's in a great position, and I say that because of the head coach he's with, and that's Bill O'Brien. I don't think people realize, or maybe they do. Yeah, the Texans have been 9-7 2 years in a row. Last year, they overcame a 2-5 start and made the playoffs. Bill O'Brien's been there 2 years and had six different starting quarterbacks and also a seventh play, Tom Savage. He didn't start, but he saw action. Mm-hmm. And yet he has a winning record 2 years in a row. They're coming off a playoff appearance. I know what happened in the playoffs. They got stunk 30-0. Brian Hoyer, 5 turnovers. As happy as the Texans are, Brock Osweiler has to be ecstatic because he's going to get a chance to learn under that guy who really knows his quarterbacks, and he's not going to have to do it alone because you look at what Houston did. And the Texans did a lot like in one day. They got Lamar Miller. They got Jeff Allen. They got Tony Bergstrom. They got Osweiler. And then look what they did in the draft as far as helping DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Notre Dame kid, Braxton Miller, added a lot of speed. Houston might be a Super Bowl team this year.
It would be nice because we've always seen it as J.J. Watt and Hopkins and people like that, but it's never been quarterback related in any way, and maybe it really will be this time. Do you, this is beginning of May, but do you look at things and say, Jacksonville, a lot of people say Jacksonville got exactly what they wanted. So is Jacksonville really going to be in it and we're going to be glad that they're there finally?
I think Jacksonville got more than they wanted, okay? I don't think they would have ever thought that a month ago, given circumstances, they would have walked out of the draft with both Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack. I just don't see that. And they were very impressive during free agency, especially on defense, Malik Jackson, Prince Amukamara, Tashaun Gibson. They addressed the secondary, where they were 29th in passing defense last year. They gave up 29 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Jackson helps them up front. What has been very interesting in watching Jacksonville these last couple of years with Gus Bradley is, A, they haven't pulled the plug on Bradley despite losing season.
Mm-hmm.
And B, they've exercised a lot of patience. And that's how you get better. If you're going to constantly change coaches and GMs, like the Cleveland Browns do, unfortunately, you're never going to make any progress. Now, last year, the Jaguars made tremendous progress on the offensive side of the ball. Remember, they 2013 and 2014, Dave, each year they scored the fewest points in the league. That was not the case last year. I mean, Blake Bortles, franchise record, 35 touchdown passes. Allen Robinson was off the charts good, the wide receiver. So what did they, and nobody talks about the fact they added Chris Ivory, who led the AFC in rushing last year, to pair him with T.J. Yeldon. There are a lot of positives coming out with Jacksonville. In fact, there's probably a lot of positives, period, coming out of the whole AFC South, which I don't think is going to be a very dismal division this year.
You know, and one of the things, too, is that I think it seems that all of them did get better, but the people that come up, I mean, I just saw, I saw the Bucks go for, what's his name, Noah Spence, is that his name? And they're, he got thrown out of the Big Ten and all that, but they're, and is he getting better? Who knows whether or not he's getting better? But when you get somebody like that and everybody's talking about that, I kind of get to the point that, I mean, it seems to me that if you get an offensive lineman, he better be 300 pounds. And if you could get that on the defensive line, too. I mean, the guys are so big. And it's like, it's one thing, sometimes they get, you see them and they're like in high school and you're like, great, get them into college so somebody else has to feed them. But it's just amazing. I mean, sometimes I see kids that are like going into college and they're 18 years old and they're 320 pounds and they're going, and they're enormous kids already getting in there. And it's not like just this guy. Most of them are 280, 320, up that going into college, let alone getting ready for the NFL.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, when it comes to these big guys blocking and so on, I'm not just saying there's not guys like J.J. Watt, but, I mean, in this league where you have a lot of hybrid players and outside linebackers who rush the passer and so on, it's almost a game more of speed than it is power. As you know, Kevin Green's going in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah.
He was a guy who could turn the corner on you, but he could also bull rush you. He could knock down a defensive, an offensive tackle. James Harrison, who's coming back with the Steelers, because he was, he's kind of a shorter guy, he could get under the pads of an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle, which made him so successful as a pass rusher. Now you're seeing more and more as these tackles get bigger, you're seeing these guys who have, top-notch speed, forget going through them, I'm just going to run around them. And it's like I say all the time, it's a quarterback-driven league, but quarterback-driven into the ground league too.
If you look at that, I mean, do we look at most of them and say, yeah, they do? I mean, we were talking about Jacksonville, but I forget that Blake Bortles, not the great, hasn't been that great, and yet they've stuck with him. Like you said, they stuck with him, and he seems to be doing a lot better now. And I remember he went to Central Florida, and I thought, does anybody know anything about this? But they went with it, and it wasn't like, oh, we're getting another quarterback in 2 years or anything like that.
Well, listen, they wind up changing their game plan a little, okay? If you remember when he was taken third overall mm-hmm. in 2014, the original plan was that he was not going to see the field as a rookie. And that plan lasted 10 quarters, okay? Out he came, and he's been there pretty much ever since. And he made tremendous, again, you know, they gave up, I think, the second fewest points in the league last year, but it wasn't for a lack of trying on offense. Their passing attack is dynamic. They got even better when Julius Thomas got healthy. Mm-hmm. They still lack balance as far as the offense. They're still working on the offensive line. Here's what this one should tell you: the progress they're making as an organization. And this is not to slight the young man, but it's just the reality of the situation. They were able to take Luke Jokel, the tackle, with the second overall pick in 2013. You remember a lot of people thought he'd be the first pick. And the Chiefs wound up going with Eric Fisher mm-hmm. instead. So Luke Jokel is the second overall pick. And the Jaguars on Monday declined the option on his fifth year. Okay? They've also signed Kelvin Beachum from the Steelers, probably to replace him as left back. Now, it's not saying that Jokel can't turn things around and become a good player and still stick with the organization. I don't have to tell you what happened with Doug Martin. Doug Martin didn't have his option picked up. He wound up having a big bounce back year, second in the league in rushing, and he wound up making a nice haul of change this offseason. So I'm not saying they're giving up on him. But what it tells you is they were not going to be content with somebody who's being mediocre at the position. They went to upgrade it. And when you're able to do that, it shows progress as an organization. And I think that move as much as the acquisitions tells you the direction the Jaguars are headed in.
You know, one of the things, let's go back to Miles Jack for a minute, because, well, I don't know why, but it seems to me everything I heard, the cartilage and the knee, and it was all spread apart and all that, and I said, well, we've all had that. So wouldn't you be a little bit uncomfortable with that guy knowing that he's got a big, you know he's going to get hurt in the first few games?
Well, he also apparently doesn't have to have the microsurgery now, and I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on TV, and I sure as hell didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's not, and I don't know what his, if he's going to be a week one starter. They're going to have to bring, listen, I don't think I have to tell you the Jaguars will be very, very careful with Miles Jack. They had a disaster last year. The first time this, Dante Fowler got on the field, he blew out his knee and they missed him for the whole year. Okay, so I think they're going to be well aware, and I think they did their due diligence. I think them and the Cowboys both did their due diligence on Miles Jack and Jalen Smith, mm-hmm. knowing what they could do and couldn't do in 2016.
Russell, when you're Seattle and the Patriots and, you know, Denver and teams that are way at the high of the playoffs, do you, by the time it gets to you and you're 27th and you're 32, when you do that, do you just see things go off and say, this is the next guy? Or do you go, this is the guy we want, we're going to wait and see? I don't know. It seems like if you're in the first 10 or 15, you know what you're going to do. But I'm thinking after that 15 and on, it's whatever's left for you, which means
bad. I understand that thinking, but think about this. Why is it that we constantly see the same teams in the top 10 picking, and then we constantly see about, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 in the bottom half, or the bottom of the draft picking in the same place, because the other organizations understand how far. I mean, Bill Polian was always picking late in the first round because mm-hmm. of the Colts' record. Even though they didn't get to the Super Bowl all the time, they were in AFC Championship games. They, you know, they had 14-win seasons. And what about the Bills, who went to four straight Super Bowls? You know, he's picking later in the draft and still getting good players. There's an art form mm-hmm. to the draft. Now, in the case of Denver this year, they were able to have an opportunity to move up and get Paxton Lynch. Mm-hmm. See, it was funny. Seattle, I thought Seattle was going to do it for the fourth straight year, babe.
Yeah.
They wound up flip-flopping picks and other stuff and picked last in the first round. I think people forget that, and this ought to tell you something about organizations and how you build. The Seattle Seahawks have been in the playoffs every year since 2012. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they... On this past week, That's the first time they drafted in the first round since 2012. They've gone three straight years without drafting in the first round. And yet, we're in Super Bowls.
You know, I've always, this is my thing about football, which is that your 22 and my 22 are right. It's just what happens when something goes down that, you know, if your left tackle comes in and someone else comes in and they go, they were absolutely great for the last 10 games of the season, they can get rid of that left tackle. And he may be good on the Patriots, but he may not be so good if he's, you know, going for Jacksonville or even the Bears or something. It's like your guys and my guys are the same, but it's when somebody goes down, that's what makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's like any other walk of life and any business we're all in. You don't find out much about things with the people when things are going good. So when things are going bad, is that when you really reveal character. But I'm going to have to steal from Marv Levy, who had the quote one time, and you'll understand this. They asked him about depth on this football team, and he said, depth is great until you have to use it.
Right.
Okay? So It's how you do adjust. It's how when, you know, what. It's the next man up mentality. People think that's cliche. It really is not cliche. You know, in the NFL, if you get hurt and they're gone for the season, you almost get forgotten about.
Right.
Okay? I mean, you just, you know, you're not a part of the team. Okay? And I'm not saying that to be cruel. It's just, it's out of sight, out of mind type of league. Okay? So How these teams adjust and all that, I mean, look at the Denver Broncos this year. Be it inefficiency or injury or both, you know, Peyton Manning was not around for the final 2 months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if Brock Osweiler and the Broncos hadn't committed five turnovers in the game against San Diego, and Gary Kubiak not opted to put Peyton Manning back in, who knows how history would have changed.
Well, did you love Russell or what? You can see him all the time because he's going to be on Radio Influence because it's the Babe Cast, so you'll be able to do that. We love Russell, everything in the whole world. We can talk about the draft, and I bet I have more to talk about it the next time around. Do we have another next time, or are we just doing this? We just kind of do this if they show up. I'm the Babe. Did you know that? It's the Babe Cast.
If you know the Babe at all, you'll know the show never ends.
Don't believe me, just watch.
Follow her on Twitter at Real Sports Babe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence. This is an On the Beach quick fix on Radio Influence.
I know you're not a big Facebook person, but over the last few months, if you've noticed, they've added an interested option to your, you know, to your invites. If you want to go, you can either, you know, say yes or decline it, or you can say that I'm, quote, interested. Like, I might go to your event.
It's like a maybe option.
It's a maybe. There's a maybe option. And this is like, this maybe option is like the most pretentious thing I've ever seen in my life. It's basically, you're telling people, well, maybe, I might go to your party.
We'll see how things work out this weekend.
If the other 17 things I have all fall through, then maybe I'll bless you with my presence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll make an appearance at your party.
Ugh.
I think the maybe option is bullshit.
Of course.
It's absolute bullshit. Because number one...
Or just don't respond like I did.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of like, you know...
If you know you're not going, don't respond.
Over there,
exactly.
But, you know, I'd really like to if I can.
Yeah. But don't give me a maybe.
Yeah. I'm not going to throw a maybe up on there. No.
I think you know. The maybe is pretentious as hell, first off. To say you're going to maybe go to the party when you know full well you're not going to go. And and you're just like, you got the host on pins and needles thinking, oh, maybe they're going to show up. Oh, maybe this person's going
to
show up.
Especially when you're trying to plan a party and you made food and everything.
I
so
know.
It's like you got
to,
you know.
I need to figure out how much fucking food I need to make.
Right.
Yes, this is very important. How much beer I need to buy. Like this was, a lot went into this. And I got all these goddamn maybes. And I counted the maybes.
How many maybes?
There are 18 maybes.
Oh, my gosh.
How many of the maybes do you think showed up to the pool party?
None.
Not one fucking maybe. Not one. Out of all 18 maybes, None of them showed up.
Why even have a maybe option? That's so stupid.
It's because Facebook sucks.
I still don't understand the emojis that we have on Facebook.
Oh, now, there's too many of them.
I haven't used any of them. No. If I like something, mm-hmm. it's usually because it's a family member or something. You know, I'll say, oh, yes, I love that person. I will like their photo.
Yes. But, if you love a person, you're not going to love their photo.
No. Yeah. Other than that, I'm like, whatever.
I don't even know what they are. They don't even say what they are, so I've already lost track of what everything is.
I know
there's, like, one that's, like, really funny and one's, like and love and... I don't know, angry. It's stupid.
It is really stupid.
But that maybe thing,
irritating.
It's super irritating. Like, if you're listening, what's his face? Zuckerberg? Mm-hmm. He's a big fan of the show. Get rid of the maybe option, okay?
Yep.
The maybe option sucks, and I'm fairly certain that this isn't just at my party. I'm fairly certain that no one in the history of Facebook has ever clicked maybe and actually went to a party.
Probably not.
No, it's never happened. Because if you say you might go, you have no intention of ever going.
You're either like, yes, hell yes, I can't wait to show up. It's
exactly.
a pool party
All
on
caps.
A Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Yes, I'll be there.
Or you can't be there.
Or you can't be there. And you just, don't respond.
That's it. Or there's no reason
to say
like, maybe. Or say no. There's lots of people that declined.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I do. I'll fuck you. There needs to be a fuck you option over a maybe option.
Screw you. I never liked you anyway. Option.
Exactly. Where's that option? That option is more honest.
I hated you in high school. Period.
Yes. That option is more.
Coming to your stupid party.
Exactly. That option's more honest than the maybe option where you're just dangling that carrot out there when you're not going to fucking go.
Oh,
fuck
stupid.
You and your maybes.
Zuckerberg's got to get it together.
He sucks. He's an idiot.
What's
that guy doing with his life?
On the Beach can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.